under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Nicholas at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue, the discussion, as we come to you each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Our desire is to see you join in the discussion of the issue of the day. We're talking about today news that every Christian should know. Did you realize that the high focus today, and has been for the past week or 10 days, the focus has simply been on Joe Biden, his cognitive inability? The focus has been on the, quote, new revelation that Joe Biden is cognitively unable to run for president. And yet the Marxist media and the Democratic Communist Party all have covered and lied to us about this for years now. The truth is Joe Biden's cognitive decline is nothing new, but it's made to look at and appear that somehow, some way, that his cognitive decline is brand new since the debate, and he failed that test royally. I'm looking at a headline article. Reporters say that they suppressed Biden's decline because the right-wing media was reporting it. The article reads, last week's presidential debate confirmed to millions of viewers the stunning deterioration of Joe Biden's capacities. He sometimes failed to finish a sentence. He mumbled. He missed points. He started stared vacantly. The article further states, but we now know why the problem, obviously developing from a number of years ago, was suppressed by those same outlets that are now making it headlines. It was because the right-wing media, they say, was reporting it. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of that's consumed all of the headline news, morning, noon, and night. There's still a lot of debate what Joe Biden's going to do, whether he will bow out or whether he will be voted out. We don't know at this point. I've got my ideas, but I'm looking at headlines. Says Biden's message to the Democrats who want him to drop out: challenge me at the convention. President Joe Biden has delivered a response to the Democrats who want him to drop out of the presidential race. Just challenge me at the convention, he said. With Democrats affectionately growing day by day, defecting growing day by day, the president is now on the offensive, making late news as members of the Congressional Black Caucus. Following the meeting, the chair of the CBC said he believes Biden is fit to serve. Quote, I think he should step aside, Adam Smith said of Washington, told CNN Jake Tapper. I think it's become clear that he's not the best person to carry the Democratic message. And it goes on and on and on. Even Adam Schiff, as Donald Trump calls him pencil neck, Adam Schiff is now saying that Joe Biden should step aside. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make is that all of this is shrouding some of the real news, interesting news, beneficial news that Christians, conservatives, and patriots need to know about. We're going to talk about those news items that have fallen under the radar and that we need to recognize is taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, as we do so, let me remind you, after the monologue, our telephone lines will be open. You can dial the number and join in the discussion. I'd love to hear from you on some of the things we're going to cover. We'll talk about the new law in the state of Florida that allows chaplains to be in these kindergarten through high school. We'll talk about the In God We Trust that was passed several years ago, signed into law for the state of Florida, for it to be over the doors of each of the schools in the state of Florida. That law is being ignored. We're going to talk about the Louisiana with the Ten Commandments law, where the Ten Commandments must be posted in each of the classroom. We'll be talking about the fact that Oklahoma now requires Bible to be taught in the public classrooms, et cetera, things that you don't hear on the drive-by news. Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley, just made the bold statement about America's great need. He says we need to post "In God We Trust" on every building and take down the sodomite flag. Ladies and gentlemen, these are news items that I think deserves recognition of what is taking place, so that Christians, conservatives, and patriots can recognize there are some good things. There's some news items that I would put in the category of good news. And ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues. We do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth of the Lord that we need to depend on. We need to depend on God and not government. But we're finding more and more in the society in which we're living in where there seems to be a reliance on government rather than on God. The fact is that we're listening to falsehoods, the diminishing of truth in America and around the globe. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that novel, 1984, was published first, written back in, I believe it was 1947, 48, and 49, and published, projecting what would happen, how America would look by 1984. And he didn't miss too many things very far. But this is one of the statements by Orwell. Remember, he was a secularist. Yet he said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factual today. And yet we need to recognize truth matters. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the world wants to say about truth, truth matters. And yet we find, as I'm looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the millennials go on to say, each person determines their own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps that's the reason we're in the quagmire that we're in as a nation today. We're finding the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, more and more moving into the categories and the areas of leadership role, socially, ethically, morally, spiritually, biblically, politically, in the era in which we're living. And unless we see a major tectonic change in what is called truth, we're going to be further in a quagmire than we are even today. But they have the philosophy and the feeling that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where the breakdown takes place. You can't take a half-truth and make it a whole truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we find multitudes today hanging on to a half-truth, which is a whole lie. I believe we need to go back to the fundamental basics of truth. I go back to the Christian 15th century church reformer and leader, theologically and doctrinally, theologian and church reformer of the 15th century, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." Now, I believe that's a philosophy that we need to stick to as Christians. I believe that ought to be a motto, basically, if you want to call it that, an unwritten, unstated, but recognized motto for every Christian, conservative, and patriot in America today, is that we seek the truth. By the way, you won't find truth on the Communist Network News. Even today, early morning news, the Communist Network News is trying to spin Joe Biden's position. And that was just simply a blip on the screen. That's not Joe Biden. He's still strong. He's still alert. He can still lead America. It was just a bad day for him. Even Joe Biden made the statement after being ridiculed and recognized for his cognitive disability. He said he still had jet lag. That was, he had been traveling globally, but it was 12 days earlier. And now he says that he was just jarred by President Trump's screaming at him and the debate. And he lost his train of thought. He's now saying that's the problem. Also, he says he was just sleepy. He needs to get more sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, This portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, the Tools for Time staff has the knowledge and insight as to giving you guidance and direction on the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can give you insight and knowledge on what you need to do for the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark to help you find Tools for Time. It's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole to the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's for a moment, during the course of this broadcast, just turn aside from the media blitz that you hear, talking about the political moral cesspool that we're in. They're not calling it that, I am. But they're talking about Biden, whether or not he'll be put out of office or voted out of office or if he'll step aside. Let me just do this little footnote on that before we leave that subject. I've said for 3 years or a little better that Joe Biden would not be the candidate on the 2024 ballot for election of a president. Joe Biden, there's going to be a transition where he voluntarily steps aside, or if the convention takes him up on his threat, he says, just challenge me at the convention. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that's precisely what's going to happen. I believe he's going to be challenged at the convention. I believe they're going to have an open primary at the convention. They're talking about not having a blitz primary. That means 4, 5, 6 weeks before the primary, have it open for candidates. And hey, they've already named about 6 or 8 or 10 candidates that could be vying for the position of presidency. And I believe the Democratic National Committee will do that. I believe they will select a VP candidate to be on the ballot and will displace old Joe. I believe they're going to put him out to pasture because the Democrats recognize their socialist Marxist ideals and ideas and directions, not what the general public's looking for. I believe they recognize that what they call the down ballot, that if Joe is at the top of the ticket, all of those on the down ballot, those that are running for local, state, and national offices, will be voted out. And that's the reason you find those that are running for office, in particular out of the blue cities, the blue party, the Marxist party, as I call it. I believe you'll find that more and more of them are going to come out and say for Joe to step down. But all of this is literally garnering the attention of all of the media. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put that aside for today. With all the focus on the Biden campaign and whether he should run or not run, some of the real news, some of the good news is being omitted. Some of the good news is being ignored. Some of the good news is being overlooked. For example, number one, let me ask you this. Did you know that a new Florida law has already been passed and signed that allows chaplains to be in the kindergarten through 12th grades in our public school system? Yes, it is. Florida House Bill 931. Florida House Bill 931. I'm looking at the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about, let's see, a total of 3 pages. It's very, very simple, very forthright. But I'm going to read you some paragraphs out of this and then want you to dial the number, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Do you believe that it's a good deal? Do you believe it's a good idea? Do you believe that it was good, is good legislation? Do you believe that we should have chaplains in our school system in the state of Florida? That's kindergarten through high school. House Bill 931. It's already been passed, signed by the governor. It says an act relating to school chaplains, creating the statute 1012.461, Florida statute, authorizing school districts and charter schools to adopt a policy to allow volunteer school chaplains, establishing the requirements for such policies, requiring district school boards and charter school governing boards to assign specified duties to such volunteer school chaplains, requiring volunteer school chaplains to meet certain background screening requirements, requiring school districts and charter schools to publish specified information under certain circumstances. That's on page one. Page two reads this way. Requires written parental consent before a student participates in or receives support, services, and programs provided by a volunteer school chaplain. Parents must be permitted to select a volunteer school chaplain from the list provided by the school district, which must include the chaplain's religious affiliations, if any, and school district. A charter school that adopts a volunteer school chaplain's policy must publish the list of volunteer school chaplains, including any religious affiliations, on the school district or charter school's website, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, page 3 says, volunteer school chaplains who are permitted access on the school grounds when students are present, who have direct contact with students, or who have access to or control of school funds, must meet the screening requirements of Florida Statute 1012.32. And it goes on with the contractual agreements, what it should be. The point being, ladies and gentlemen, the new law in the state of Florida, signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, gives the permission to every school district, and charter school in the state of Florida to open the doors to allow the application and the approval of and the assignment of volunteer school chaplains in the school system in the state of Florida, including charter schools and those that are volunteering in that capacity in the schools. But the question is, I want you to give me a little feedback. Do you approve on having school chaplains in the schools? Do you approve? Will you allow in your school, our school district in Duval County, are you willing to allow a chaplain to come in and teach kids? Now, the idea is to have different programs or processes that they would go through, and having the programs. Let me just read you that again. It says here, for including services, support, programs provided by a volunteer school chaplain. Now, it says in the bill, it says in the law, that the parent must approve it. And there must be a list of these proposed chaplains that the school posts on the website, and then the parents can make a decision. I want my child to be taught by a chaplain. I want my child to be taught by a chaplain that's a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, et cetera. Because, quote, as the bill states, his or her religious affiliation must be posted. So, ladies and gentlemen, is that a good idea? Do you approve of having a chaplain in our schools? Can or will he or she have the authority to teach Bible? Should students and parents be concerned? The question is, what will become of that? How will it be carried out? 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts? Should we have school chaplains? Can they have Bible classes? Can they teach the Word of God? I'm looking at a notice from a constitutional attorney about this. And it said, this is the way this attorney says. As of Monday, July the 1st, 2024, this bill has taken effect. We encourage everyone to reach out, inquire, and apply at your nearest public school. I have rescheduled our local school district's job board and found no information. Not rescheduled, research. This attorney says, his administrative assistant, that they have researched the local school district's job board and find no information about the chaplaincy. This may mean that you or an assistant or partner or parent may need to contact principals directly and inquire about the implementation of HB 931 into your schools. Then offer your assistance. Contact the principal directly. The opportunities of the student can be endless. Create Christian clubs or their campuses with your support, or simply give them someone to pray with. This is a mission work that couldn't be more important, as our youth are in dire need of spiritual guidance. we can help ensure that students are receiving godly spiritual guidance that will counter the many evils surrounding our children. Additionally, incorporating our pastors into the schools will eliminate any negative influences they may also be trying to infiltrate these positions. Listen very carefully. What this attorney is saying, that we need to step up to the plate as Christians. We need to call the schools, talk with the school leadership, and have our names put on the list of volunteer school chaplains. Now, I don't recommend that unless you're pretty conversant with the Word of God. I don't recommend that anyone listening to the sound of my voice say, well, I love kids, and so I'm going to be a school chaplain. I'm going to ask them. We don't need that. That'll be a debauchery of what is planned and what Ron DeSantis, our governor, envisioned when this was signed by him into law. He envisioned then, as the legislators that passed it, which, by the way, was by conservatives for the most part that passed it, by Republicans in whole that passed it. And as a result of that, we have the privilege in the state of Florida for parents and grandparents to have input of Bible in the classroom. That's what it boils down to. It is shrouded in the fashion that it's calling it chaplains, and the chaplain can have the programs and the processes to teach, to lead, to counsel with, and to work with the kids. I don't know about you. I think it's a good program. I think it's a good state law. We're talking about other state laws and other states that have been passed, that some of these have already been done in the state of Florida. But may I ask you the question? Are you in favor of this? How do you stand on this? What are your thoughts? Will it be good or bad? Will we have wrong theology being taught? Will we have a debauchery in theological beliefs being exposed and expressed in the classroom with the students? By the way, this is not something that has to be a after-school program. It is designed and required in the legislation that it be in the process of the academic day that this be carried out, that a chaplain can be in the classroom and teaching the kids that the families, the parents, voluntarily want to hear them, want to have them being taught in the Word of God. So now the question is this: can the Bible be taught in its chronological order? Can the Bible be taught as a spiritual book, or will it be just simply looked at as a historical record, an historical book? What are your thoughts? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go to the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. God bless our government.
Yes.
It's about time, because, you know, they have the gay pride reading and what they call it? The Queens.
Yeah, drag queens.
Yeah. Going in the classrooms, reading our kids. And I always say that. Why can't a pastor go in there?
Absolutely. By the way, Kenneth, it's an important issue from my perspective, because several years ago, had the privilege of talking with the school principal of one of the local high schools, and she was a Christian and talked about inviting me to come in and have a Bible class each Friday, and for all of the students that would volunteer for it in the auditorium at the school. And we sat with her. I say we, my wife was with me. We sat with her in her office for a couple of hours. We talked about the strategy and what would be done, how it would be done. And before we left, I'd agreed that I would come in and teach the Bible. A footnote as we started to leave, she said, now, you know, I will not, will not be allowed to try to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ, convert them, because that would be against the rules, and we can't do that. I said, what's the use? If I can't sit with the students, show them what the Word of God says and the claims of Christ on their lives, why would I want to waste my time to go in a classroom and to be able to say I'm teaching the Bible? So this law, this new law, counters that, cuts across the grain with that, and allow that chaplain to be able to teach the Bible, allows that chaplain to be able to counsel with and to console and to direct that child's life. I think that it's good. I think that it can have some downsides. I think that if you have one that's kind of a heathen and yet under the guise of being a chaplain, let's just think for a moment, Kenneth, you've got an individual that doesn't know the Word. or as false, teaches false theology, happens to be a pastor, goes in and makes application, they say okay. So he's put in the lineup of being able to teach the kids. That can be bad, and I believe some of those things will happen. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. And this is the reason, as this Christian constitutional lawyer says, it's good for the pastor to be in the schools so that he can kind of be a monitor of what's being taught, whether it's good or bad, and help control that. I think that's a good idea. What say you?
I think that's the greatest idea ever.
Amen. I'm thankful for it. That's good news, but we hadn't heard that on the news. It hadn't been on the social media. It hadn't been anything said about that on any of the networks here in Duval County. None of the none of the media said anything about this new law that's been argued, debated in the House and the Senate, passed and signed by the governor. And I think it is a sad, sad shame that we've been sequestered from the truth in relationship to something that will be so imperative and so important in the lives of our kids for their school for their school day. So, Kenneth, thank you so much. I believe it's time that we as Christians need to line up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. And under the sound of my voice, anybody that is trained in the Scripture, knows the Scripture, loves the Lord, and would have the idea of trying to impact kids' lives for eternity, I highly recommend get involved in the chaplaincy program, kindergarten through high school. Wonderful, wonderful law signed into effect by our governor, Ron DeSantis. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. The question is, we're talking about today, the new law, House Bill 931, that's been passed and signed into law by our governor, that allows chaplains to be in the classroom, in the public schools, and the charter schools. I believe it's very, very important that we do that, that we participate and take part. Let me go back and read you one brief paragraph from the Christian constitutional lawyer in his letter to me on that subject. We encourage everyone to reach out, inquire, and apply at your nearest local school, public school. I have researched our local school district's job board and found no information. This may mean that you or an assistant or a parent may need to contact principals directly and inquire about the implementation of House Bill, that's HB 931. Write that down, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not driving. HB 931. Talk with your school board member. Talk with the superintendent of schools. Call and leave word if you cannot get through to him. Call and ask the question, are you going to implement the chaplaincy program that is required according to House Bill 931 that's just been signed by the governor? This writer says, then offer your assistance. The opportunities for the school's children, students could be endless, this writer says. Create Christian clubs on the campuses with your support, or simply give them someone to pray with, etc. The mission, this is a mission work that couldn't be more important, as our youth are in dire need of spiritual guidance in our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly correct. At one time we had prayer. At one time we had Bible study. Had memory verses to be quoted in the classroom. At one time there was the pledge of the flag, the Bible reading, the prayer, every morning before school academic program started. I recall that very, very distinctly. That has been out of the school classrooms since about 1960, 61, and 62. And as a result of that, the general feeling is, well, the law won't allow that. Yes, it will. If the law is passed and it allows it to do so, if there are Christians that will take a stand and want to be stand up, be heard and be seen, be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. So I say kudos for our governor. I'm thankful that he has signed this into law. I'm thankful for the privilege and the opportunity that we have as Christians to have impact on our sons and daughters and grandkids in the classroom. I believe it's important. I believe it's very, very vital that we have some source of salt and light in the classroom academic setting, so that our kids can be redirected, their minds, their hearts, their lives, their focus on something other than just simply the academics, but something that will give them fundamental, rudimentary, foundational guidance for the rest of their lives. I believe it's vital. I believe it's important. So I need to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this discussion right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online